My name is Alan Morse, and we are starting another teaching. We're in Philippians, and this will be number 4. This will be lesson 4. And so turn to your Bibles to Philippians. And this is going to be, this has been a wonderful book to study. We learn a lot from it. Turn to Philippians, and chapter 2, and we're going to look at, start off with verses 14. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14. It starts right off with, "Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless children of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." You see, we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. A person who believes the gospel is filled, and we're going to shine. We're going to be different than anybody else because we're going to have a love for people that nobody could understand. You know, we're going to have caring for people because we've got God living in us. And think how wonderful that is. So, but look at the world that we're in. Let's just turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go to the right. Go right on over. You're not very far. Through Colossians and 1 and 2 Thessalonians and then 1 Timothy. And then 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verses 1. This is this perverse world that they're talking about. And we're living in it to this very day. We're living in it. You can, when you see, hear this, you can't. This is us, see? And that's why I believe that we're in the latter days. There's no doubt about that. It says, verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall become lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of it and turn away. For of this sort are they who creep into houses that lead captive the silly women, laden with sins, led away with various lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And what's the knowledge of the truth? You've heard me tell you time and time again. The gospel. Ephesians chapter 1:13. It's also in the first part of Colossians. The knowledge of the truth is the gospel. They never come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what the world is today. And does this sound like who we live in today? It most certainly does. And so, anyway, I believe that we're in these last days. And this is what we're involved with. Okay, let's go back to the text. And let's look at verses 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice of service and service of you, your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Now, we've got to understand now, Paul is in prison in Rome. He doesn't know his outcome is. And very likely, when we know eventually, I think it's in Timothy, when we're reading that, this was his last letter that he wrote. And so he didn't know when he wrote to the Philippians where he was going to stand to. It says, "So if I be offered upon a sacrifice and the service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me." Verses 19, it says, But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy. Now, he's going to send Timothy to them shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. So they didn't have a way to call him on the phone, you know, or text him, or they didn't even have mail. They had to send somebody, and it was quite a ways from where he was at in Rome to where the in Greece and where Philippi was. So, but he needed to know how they're doing. And I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. So Timothy was like-minded. How is he like-minded? He taught the gospel. That's all Paul taught, the gospel. For all seek their own, not the things which are in Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him. That is, as a son with the Father, he has served with me in what? The gospel. You see. You see, the average believer, the average preacher will go through this and never see this. But this gospel is everywhere, but yet they don't teach it. See, they just go by it like it just means nothing. It's everything. It's salvation to the body of Christ. See, let's go to verses 23. 23. It says, him, therefore, I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. He's very concerned what's going to happen to him in prison. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. He's hoping he could get freed. Yet I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and the companion in the labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, that he hath ministered to my needs. See, Epaphroditus came from them, the Philippians, and they sent a gift of things Paul needed to survive in that prison. See, and Epaphroditus is the one that took it to them, and he's going to send him home here pretty soon, for he longeth after you all. Verse 26, and was full of heaviness because you had heard that he had been sick. You see. And he had. It says, for in 27, it says, indeed, he was sick. He was sick. And he was near. You see. He was sick and was near unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him alone, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. See, if he has something happened to him, being he's had sorrow enough by being in prison, he would have that sorrow upon sorrow. And let's look at verses 28. It says, I send him, therefore, the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be in less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ was near unto, because of the work of Christ, he was near unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service unto me. You see, they couldn't, their lack of service unto him. You see, they couldn't themselves come. They had families and they had jobs and stuff. So, but this must have been a man that was free that could do this. And so the beings that they couldn't come serve him, they had sent him. And he also brought these gifts to Paul to help his life be better, even though it isn't, was in prison. Now let's start in chapter 3. Chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, you know, this is kind of neat. You see, here he says rejoice, I don't know how many, I didn't count them, but dozens of times in this writing. And here's a man that's in prison. He's rejoicing. See? Why? Because he has God living in him to hold him up and give him the strength to do what he's doing and to teach this word, you know, get these letters out to the churches. You see, he never, and all these people he's writing to, you see, they're all believers. He don't write to unbelievers. He's talking to believers. And this is wonderful. He's in verses, in chapter 3, verses 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write these things to you and to me indeed is not irksome, but for you it is safe. In other words, he writes these things to you, and he tells, goes over things over and over and over in these letters, and he does it for a reason. That's how we learn, by repetition. And it's not irksome to him. He knows that he needs to go over these things constantly so that they are aware how important things are and they can learn. Look at verses 2. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the concisions. Who are they? They're the Jews. You see, they were trying to make inroads into these churches to totally, you know, turn them away from the gospel constantly. So let me show you where this is at. This is something that most people don't understand and never saw. Let's turn back to Acts chapter 15. Back to the left, back to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, and let's look at verses 1. This is what he's talking about. And certain men who came down from Judea, that's from Jerusalem, taught the brethren and said, these people somehow got into their churches, and these were people who were believed. These were Jews, see, and they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, a regular Jew would never go into a church of Paul's churches. They wouldn't do it, you see. But these people did, and they came in and taught them and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. You see, they were told them, these people, you believe the gospel, but now you have to be circumcised. See? Well, Paul, that's just ridiculous. See, we add nothing to the cross. Jesus did it all on the cross. Paul preached the gospel of grace, and gospel of grace means unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. There's nothing that you can do for your salvation because Jesus did it totally on the cross, and you add nothing to it. And these Jews were telling these believers, these Paul's believers, that they had to be circumcised in order to be saved. Now look up verses 5. But then there rose up a certain sect of Pharisees. These were Jews, of course, who believed. They were believers. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah, see. You see, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law, you see. And Paul just expressively said, this is not to be done. We don't add anything to the gospel. And you need to go back, and I need to show you this. Let's turn back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. See, Paul just fought this constantly because they were continue to adding things to the gospel, and these people were telling them to. Okay, chapter 5, Galatians, chapter 5, verses 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ hath made us free, not being entangled in the yoke again unto the yoke of bondage. What's the yoke of bondage? Judaism. See, this church has nothing to do with Judaism whatsoever. We're totally away from it. That's why, because you add nothing to the gospel. You just believe the gospel, and that's it, plus nothing. You don't add anything to it. You take nothing away from it. But you're not in bondage for all these rules and regulations in the law. It's healed. And so let's look what it says down here. It says, verses 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, you see, they were telling him to be circumcised, but if you do that, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again in every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Now, I know we're not dealing with circumcision today, and we're not dealing with the law, but we do other things to add to the gospel. What is it? Baptism. You don't add baptism to your salvation. You don't add baptism to your salvation, just like you don't add the law to it. You only believe the gospel for your salvation. And if you add anything to it, Christ shall have no effect to you. That's pretty strong language, but it's what the book says. I didn't say it. This is what the book says. Now let's go back to the text. Let's go back to the text and let's look at, we're in verses, we'll start with verses 3, chapter 3. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. What do you mean that we are the circumcision who work? See, our circumcision isn't a physical circumcision. It's a spiritual circumcision. It means a cut off, what it means. Cut off something that is not necessary. So what do we do? What do we cut off? Let me show you. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Turn back to the left to Romans chapter 6. And this is what we call spiritual circumcision. Romans chapter 6. And let's look at verses. Look at verses 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin may be destroyed, and that henceforth we should no more serve sin. Look at verses 11. Likewise, reckon also that you yourselves will be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what did we cut off? We cut off the old man. See, the old man, the old sin nature that we attained the second we were born. We had the old sin nature. But when we believe the gospel, we believe also that when Christ died on that cross, that our sin was nailed to that cross also. And when Christ was buried, we believe that we were buried. But when Christ rose from the dead, we believe that we rose also, and we became a whole new creation in God. Let's look at that. Look at Second Corinthians. Turn back to the right. And go to 2 Corinthians, through 1 and 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 17, it says, therefore, 5:17, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You see, all things, but old things have passed away. What does passed away mean? It means when you tell somebody to pass away, what did they do? They died. And we believe that our old sin nature died, you see. And then we can become a whole new creation, a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. And the minute that I believe the gospel, when I told Jesus, I believe the gospel for my salvation, that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead, I became a new creation. Everything was different. You just can't believe what difference it makes when God comes in and lives in you. You see, old things have passed away. You know, it's just wonderful what God has done in my life, and he'll do the same thing in your life. So let's go back to the text now. We're in chapter 3, and we're in verses 4. It says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath reason for which he might trust in the flesh, I more. In other words, there's a lot of people that think, well, I'm a good person. I've done this and I've done that, you know. But Paul says, if you're going to trust in the flesh, I've done more. But see, it didn't mean nothing to him. And now he tells him what kind of a person he was. He says, verse 5, he says, I was circumcised in the eighth day. Now, he was a Jew of all Jews, see, in the stock of Israel and of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and touching the law of a Pharisee. He said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, and touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But it says, 7, but that what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I counted loss for Christ. let's look at Galatians chapter. Go back to Galatians again. Galatians chapter 1. Go back to the left. Just a few to Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, "For you have heard of my manner of life in times past in the Jewish religion, how that I, beyond measure, I have persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Now look at 14. "And profited in the Jewish religion above all my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father." You see. So he was a Jew of all Jews. There's no doubt about it, and he profited greatly. He probably had one of the best homes in Jerusalem. I'm sure he was a wealthy man because he involved in Judaism the way he was, and he profited more than any. Okay, verses 7. "But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ." See, he counted loss for Christ. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuge, that I may win Christ. And then we'll go verses 9. "But be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." What is the faith of Christ? You see, it didn't mean say faith in Christ, through the faith in Christ. It was the faith of Christ. And what was the faith of Christ? The faith of Christ was his faith in God that gave him the strength and the courage to be able to go to the cross, and also knowing that Christ would raise him from the dead. You see, if Christ hadn't gone to that cross and hadn't had that faith in God to be with him through that horrible situation and also to raise him from the dead, if he hadn't done that, we'd still be lost. And it was his faith, the faith of Christ, that truly saved us. And that's the gospel, see. That he died on that cross and he was buried and he rose from the dead. That's the faith of Christ, see. And if he hadn't had that faith to do that, we'd still be in our sins today. We'd still be in our sins today. Okay, we're in verses 10. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. Made conformable to his death. We're going to talk about that. Just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. How was he made conformable? Look, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And just let's look at verses 20-24. This is what he went through to be able to be conformable to his death. What he did for us to get the gospel out. He says, verse 24, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24. It says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." See, that's, Christ was beaten 39 times with the cat of nine tails, and about cut him in two. Paul was beaten five times with the cat of nine tails. That's just hard to comprehend. And when they did that, when they got done, they threw him in a jail, in a dungeon. It was a dungeon, what it was. It was a hole in the ground. And, you know, no way to put any antiseptic on it to take care of all the wounds or something. How he come out of there without blood poison, I don't know. But when he came out of that dungeon after being beaten like that, what did he do? He preached the gospel. That's all he did. Three times he was beaten with rods. Rods back in those days was a horrible beating. Many people never lived. It hit you so hard it knocked the wind out of you. And then before you get another breath, they hit you again. And not only that, they broke your ribs and they broke your vertebrae. And you were lucky to walk away from there that your back wasn't broken. It was a horrible thing. And then they threw him in prison, of course. And they said, once I was stoned. Once I was stoned to death. There's no doubt about that. Jews didn't stone you alive. But God raised him up to do what? Preach the gospel. I've suffered shipwreck. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of by the Gentiles, in perils in the cities, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching, often in hunger and thirst, and in fasting, often in cold and nakedness. Besides those things are without that which cometh upon me the daily care of the church, of the churches. This is how he conformed to God. Look what he did. And if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have the gospel. We wouldn't have the gospel at all. It's just hard to even comprehend. Let's move back to our text, and I think we're going to have to stop there. And we just need just to understand how in the world he could have gone through so much, but he did. And he did it because he was trying to be conformable unto his death. And he was trying to preach the gospel, and he ran against all kinds of problems. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you so much for being able to teach your word. And I pray that people would understand these words and come to the knowledge of the gospel. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.